The perfect family. How many of you belong to the perfect family? I want to see all your hands. Amen? Amen. Just don't be ashamed. You can raise your hand. Come on. I believe we're all part of this beautiful, perfect family called the family of God. Amen? Amen. So can we raise our hands? We belong to the perfect family. We have the perfect Father. His name is? Jesus, God. Yes. And many times we ask ourselves, wow, how do we even belong to such an incredible family? And I want to say our Fallbrook Church family is a perfect family. Yes? And we'll find out why I say this. And that each one of our families, we have the beautiful opportunity to be part of a perfect family. You might be asking the question, well, what do you mean, Pastor Sam? If you only knew. And I would probably say the same thing. If you only knew. But God tells us in his word, we are part, that we can be part of a beautiful family, a perfect family of God. The word perfection appears in our scripture reading. If you go to Matthew chapter 5, verse 48, we've all read this verse. Therefore, you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. That almost feels overwhelming, doesn't it? Who could be like God? Who could be like our Heavenly Father? And yet, praise the Lord, this Greek word that appears, sorry about that, 17 times. First here in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, verse 48, and it appears 17 times in the New Testament. Praise the Lord, it comes in a context. Sometimes it's translated as complete, finished. Something is come to its maturity. It's perfect. Sometimes it's translated as lacking nothing. And so we will see how this word is defined in the Gospel of Matthew and in other verses of the New Testament. But before we get there, I just want to share this. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that those who are perfect do not have trials or tribulations. Nowhere. And we know someone who was 100% perfect. Amen? What's his name? Jesus. Did he have trials and tribulations? Did he endure many difficult situations? He did. His life was not easy. But praise the Lord, he came to save you and he came to save me. Matthew chapter 5, verse 48 is in the context of, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. In other ways, the text is telling us, love perfectly like God loves you and me. He lets his rain to be on the good and the evil. He lets his sun shine upon the good and the evil. He invites us to love perfectly, not only those who are in our household, those who are neighbors, those who are friends, but to look beyond and say, brother, I love you, even if you don't love me. I love you because God loves you. Matthew chapter 19, verse 21. If you have your Bibles, come with me to this important text of Matthew chapter 19, verse 21. A story that we know well. Matthew 19, verse 21, the story of the young rich ruler. Jesus had this young man approach him, asking him, what do I need to do to inherit eternal life? And in verse 21, Jesus said to him, if you want to be what? Perfect. Go, sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Come, follow me. Jesus was telling this young man, trust me perfectly. Don't just put your trust in the things that you have, but trust me, depend on me perfectly, and you will have eternal life. Is trust important in the family, brothers and sisters? Is love important in the family? It's important. So Jesus is telling his disciples, love perfectly, trust perfectly. Romans chapter 12, verse 2, this word again appears. The word perfect. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Where it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Verse 2, and do not be, what? Conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. As I read this, I hear Paul's invitation to the church to accept the will of God perfectly. Amen? To submit to God's guidance, to God's word. Does God have a special plan for his children, brothers and sisters? Does he have a perfect plan for each one of us? But many times we think our ways work better, or we feel more comfortable, or I just like it, you know, because everyone I know kind of does the same thing. But God is calling us to accept, to trust, to love his good and acceptable and perfect will. And I believe in this scenario, God is inviting his children to be perfect in accepting his perfect will for them. Let's go to the book of James, where this word teleios, the Greek word teleios, appears. James chapter 1. And we'll read also a little bit of the context to see how it's used. And it starts in verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various, what? Perfection in the context of what? Trials. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces what? Patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking what? Nothing. Wow. God is inviting his children to trust, to have faith in him, to be perfectly patient. Amen? Is patience something that is needed when we're going through trials, brothers and sisters? It's of the utmost importance. And James, knowing that the church would go through many trials, God, knowing that his people would go through many trials, gave this message for us today who live in the 21st century. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. As I read this verse, Psalms 23 came to mind. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd. I will lack nothing. Can we trust that God will provide for our needs, brothers and sisters? We can trust that he will provide. And he wants us to perfectly use this gift that he gives us called patience. Verse 17 is our next text in the same chapter, but I'll start with verse 12. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive what? The crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then, when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Verse 17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Every perfect gift comes from above. I can see God reminding his children, recognize me perfectly. All good things come from me. And as family, is that something that we need to do as well? Recognize the blessings that God has bestowed upon us perfectly? James chapter 3, verse 2. Again, this word perfect appears. Leistos. And it's verse 2. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. What is James talking about here, brothers and sisters? If we continue reading, we find out that it's talking about the tongue. Can the tongue cause much damage? Can it cause much hurt? It can. According to James, it can set a forest on fire. It can destroy homes, divide friendships, divide churches, divide nations. God says, if you want to be perfect, do not stumble in word. In fact, verse 1, it says, my brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. Is good communicating new good communication skills needed at home, brothers and sisters? They are needed at home. But more than speaking, is listening also needed in communication? And when we say listening, it's not just listening to the words, but listening to the body language, listening to the way it's said, listening to the emotions, listening to maybe the pain or the embarrassment Is this something that we need to do more at church? Listen to one another. Is this something we need to do more at work? God is inviting his church, the family, his children, to listen perfectly to what he has to say and what others have to say. And he says if we control our tongue, we can also control our body. Amen? It's like connected. To have perfect self-control. Our last text for today, we won't read 17, we're only going to read 7, is 1 John 4:18. 1 John 4:18. 4? 8. I know, I forgot to put the 1 there, brothers and sisters. Will you forgive me? Yes. Thank you. Yes. 1 John 4:18. You're reading it correctly. I missed. And this is where the word perfect appears. There is no fear in but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If you look at verse 17, John says, love has been perfected among us. Perfect love has no fear. Do we live in a fearful environment? We do. Do we know what's going to happen tomorrow? Could that bring a little bit of anxiety? A little bit, right? Depending on how things are today, right? Is fear a good motivator? I'll ask Dan. Dan, can we make good decisions when we're making them based on fear? Absolutely not. But it's a strong emotion. It's one that we all experience. But there's a stronger emotion that God wants us to have in making decisions. And that is love. Amen? Perfect love casts out all fear. I read a story that probably you saw as well in the news of a young lady who ran out of gas and a homeless man, an ex-Marine, gave her $20. That was everything he had. $20. And she filled her tank. She was able to get back home. She was so grateful. She said, I'm going to do something for this man. I'm going to have a GoFundMe site. And I will put something like paying it forward and tell the story of this man, how he gave everything he had to help me fill my gas tank so that I could get home safely. In 10 months, 14,000 people gave to that fund. At the end, there was 400,706 dollars in that fund. Amen? 400,000. Is that a lot of money? It's a lot of money. A lot of money. And the couple used 75,000 and gave it to this man. But then this emotion that we're talking about, boom, hit the heart. And they decided they were going to keep the other $325,000. They say it was fear. Fear that this man would not use it correctly. But this man now had how much? 75,000? So he was able to hire a good lawyer. And they took it to court. The judge said those 400,000 were collected for Mr. Bobbitt. And I know the fear, I know, but those monies belong to Mr. Bobbitt. Reporters asked, what are you going to do with it? He says, I'm going to rent an apartment. I'm going to get some food. And he can rent for years to come, can't he, brothers and sisters? But it's this emotion called fear that sometimes makes us make decisions, sometimes makes us react in ways that we don't even understand why we're doing things. But God says, take fear from the equation. And let love be the motivator of each one of your decisions. I believe these are three factors to keep families together. Trust perfectly, amen? Is trust important in the family, brothers and sisters? It's very important. And above all, we're invited to trust God. But then we're invited to trust one another. And the way trust grows, at least in my experience, has been as our yes is yes and our no is no, does trust grow? Trust grows. Where there's truthfulness, where there's honesty, trust grows. If I make a mistake, and I've made mistakes before, what happens to this trust fund? It diminishes. In a matter of seconds, it's gone. And by God's grace again, through the power of His Holy Spirit, that trust continues to grow. God wants His children, first of all, to trust Him, but He wants His children also to build trust one for another. Communication. We talked about it a little bit, but is this important? Does it mean that we always agree? Does it mean that we always see things the same way? It doesn't. I disagreed with my parents. I disagreed also with my wife. But can we love each other? Can we respect each other? Yes. And communication needs to be open, honest, for it to work. And I believe this, again, can keep our families together. And thirdly, love. The love of Jesus, the love of Christ holds us together. Amen? And this is a love that we don't have in it in ourselves. We need to receive it from God daily. So families, I want to invite you. I truly want to invite you to trust in the Lord with all your heart. To take time daily, not only to talk with each other, but also to talk with Him. Spend time in prayer. Spend time in the Word. And as a result, I believe we will have love in the family. Amen? As a result, we will see this bonding, this coming together. And not only will we experience it, but everyone around us. I want to finish today's sermon with a picture. A picture maybe many of you have seen before. I had one of these pictures in my bedroom when I was growing up. Have any of you seen this picture? Yes? What do you see? A storm. That's what everybody sees first, a storm. And it's easy to look at the waves, yes? It's easy to listen or hear the wind howling. It's easy to see the water. Can anybody see the boat? It's like you can barely see it sinking. What else do you see in this picture? Christ. Where is Christ? At the helm. Yes, he's there. What does he look like? Calm, at peace, tranquil. What else do you see? You see a family. And they're all together, amen? And you have a few members of the family who are even close to Christ. One is holding the arm, the other one's holding the shoulder. And you have this man holding onto his hem, yes? Right there. Is that a good place to be, brothers and sisters? That's an amazing place to be. What else do you notice about this picture? Jesus is in control, amen. And they're all looking forward, amen? They're not looking at the situation, which is obvious. It's stormy, it's windy, it's dangerous, very dangerous. But they all have their eyes fixed on the goal ahead. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. I go therefore to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, says Jesus. Amen? Brothers and sisters, I believe that we are living in times worse than this picture. Yes? And the Bible predicted it would happen. The invitation is to have Jesus at the helm of our homes. Amen? To let him be our guide. To let him take us where he knows is best for each one of us. And by God's grace, we will make it home. We will be part of this perfect family, the family of God, that will live for all eternity. Amen.